Incredibly, others in the building were still unaware of the dangers they faced.
Then we get a lot of calls that the lights were out. Some people didn't know what had happened. They just knew the lights were out in the building.
As the minutes ticked by, the voices from the upper floors became more and more.
First, Christian. Christ, Christian. They said them people.
One day, I'll make a difference.
I met with Joe Jonas and Megan Martin, and then I got Aki Bieber in contact lenses. Joe talked to me about why the Special Olympics is important to him, and then they really surprised me.
See what happened next on YouTube. Aki View. See what could be.
Act so much like Jesus. They live so much like Jesus. They talk so much like Christ that they're Christy, a little Christ, Christian. That's far removed from the modern definition of Christian. In the Bible, the definition of Christian was somebody that's so much like Jesus, you just tagged that name on them. In our generation, it can be anything from a professional gambler to a strip joint owner, or any kind of athlete, musician. Everybody claims to be a Christian. But that's not the Bible definition of the word. Tonight, I want to preach on the subject, what kind of Christian are you? Now, the world messed up tonight. There's no doubt about it. You saw that this morning. And if we had to, we got a mess on our hands, to say the least. And there's at least seven different kinds of Christians that I want to talk about tonight that I hope that most of these that you're not. And the first one is this, an unfed Christian, he won't eat. An unfed Christian won't eat. Now the Bible says that we're supposed to eat the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, there's something wrong with a Christian that has no appetite for the Word of God. None whatsoever. Something wrong with you. When I got saved, I had an immediate appetite for the Bible. I wanted to hear what's about. I remember growing up, Mom would have preachers on, but I never deliberately listened to a preacher that I know of, ever, one night in my life. And I've been saved just a few weeks, and I went to my cousin's house, and Billy Graham was preaching on TV. And, you know, back years ago, Billy Graham was a very strong, hard preacher. And he preached hard, especially way back yonder. You get them old archives way back in the 40s and in the 50s and the 60s. Billy Graham preached hard. Well, Billy Graham was preaching on TV. And I remember at my cousin's house, I remember saying, hey, y'all be quiet for a minute. I wanted to hear what he said. And I've never done that before. Something happened when I got saved. I had an immediate desire to hear the Bible. I wanted to eat. Now you take these little kids in here tonight, especially these little babies. I don't know any babies. There's one right there. And he's doing exactly what I'm preaching about. Right there. That little fellow right there, I mean, he, that little belly, just a swelling up. Now, Goldie, what if you come in here and I said, well, do you ever feed it? And you said, no, he ain't eat nothing in 2 days. You know what we'd say? We'd say there's something wrong with that child, wouldn't you? You'd say there's something bad wrong with that kid. They don't eat. If a baby don't eat, that, Lord have mercy, you don't have to spank it and say, now, here, put this bottle in your mouth. Suck that bottle. They come up. They'll suck that flour right there. I mean, it don't matter, pencil, anything, cigar, anything you stick near their mouth. I mean, it comes natural. They have an appetite. They want to eat. And I'm going to say to you this evening, brother, if a man gets born again, he's saved by the grace of God. No, it's normal to have a hunger for the Bible. I just don't understand people that have no interest in the Bible, no desire for the Bible, no hunger for the Bible. There's something wrong. You're an unfed Christian. I tell you what I think is wrong, if you'll listen to me. Am I listening? I tell you what I think's wrong with a lot of Christians. I know this for a fact. I had three kids, raised three kids, and these kids, these girls, I mean, when they was little, they'd come in the house and they'd say, Daddy, we had ice cream. I just said, do whatever you want to. I'm busy. And they'd go to the refrigerator and get whatever they wanted. And you say, I didn't know way to raise. Well, just tell me about it, okay? They'd go to the refrigerator, and I'd come in, and I'd be out. I'd mow the grass, and I'd come in, and they'd be sitting in there in the living room watching, you know, some show. Corey, her favorite show was SpongeBob, still is, matter of fact. SpongeBob SquarePants, and I heard he's queer, though. I don't know about that. Have y'all heard that? That's what they're saying. I don't know if that's true or not. But anyway, old SpongeBob, she'd sit there and watch him, and that's what they're trying to say now. I don't know. They're saying about Mickey Mouse and everybody. I don't know if that's true or not. Somebody said, if Mickey dunks Minnie for the other fella, he's goofy. That's right. But anyway, she's sitting there, and you know what? You know what? If I let them eat candy and ice cream and drink Pepsis and candy and ice cream and drink Pepsis, and then at 5 o'clock, I'd say, all right, girls, we're going to eat supper. You know what they'd say? They'd say, I ain't hungry. And I'd say, well, it's supper time. You'd say, I mean, you put, of course we didn't ever have this, but you put green beans and corn and out in front of a kid, and then put Snickers bars and bright ice cream and Pepsi right here, and which one of them kids going to take? I mean, they're going to take the junk. I mean, I ain't a kid, and I'll take it. Amen. I ate junk all night driving home last night. Not driving home last night, I ate almond Hershey bars and drunk Pepsi, and I ate all kind of junk anyway, driving home. And you know what? I had no desire for green beans at all. You know why? Because I was full of junk. And you know what's wrong with people tonight? You know what's wrong with people in church? You know how they sit there like a kiss the whole service? Because they've been eating the devil's candy all week long and have no desire for the meat of the Word of God. The devil, it's like I was talking about this morning. For you that were not here this morning, somebody tell them what I preached on. Movies. Movies. And you know why I believe the Lord put that on my heart? Everybody listen. You know why I believe the Lord put that on my heart? Because I was praying this week, and I've been studying on this 9/11 stuff. And I studied on this 9/11 stuff, and I started thinking about it, and Brother Tim got me documentaries and video clips, and I got about a two-hour, three-hour documentary on it, and I watched that thing. Driving home, I'd watched that thing last night. 1 o'clock, I didn't get home about 4:30 this morning, and I drove all night last night, and I watched this documentary. It was 9/11, and this person came on there, and he said, when the buildings blew up, airplane hit the building, and I run for my life, and I was down there burning. And you know, 3 hours of that stuff, I started feeling weird. And every time, I remember I was coming up, it's about Burlington, between Burlington and Winston-Salem this morning, about 2 o'clock this morning, and there was I was flying, doing about 80 miles an hour, and I was going fast. And there was a little car coming up through here, and a car got right beside me. And I thought, they're terrorists. It's past 12 o'clock, it's 9/11. I knew there was terrorists in that car. And I thought, I really did. I thought, it's why. Don't it scare you when you're in the middle of a big city and you're going fast and another car just comes flying up and then just goes right along with you? And I looked over there and their windows was tinted. My windows was tinted. And I looked. I said, man, if I see that window go down and a gun, I can tell by looking at them. I know what they look like. Hey, I got for stereotyping. I know what them things look like. Where I've got a rag on their head, and they're gonna shoot me. Now you know what? Normally I wouldn't think that, but I had watched so much of that stuff that it affected my thinking. Are y'all listening? I watched so much of that stuff it affected my thinking. I study UFOs. Every time, I got some more coming here. They've been having it on Thursday nights. I ain't got to see it, but they've been taping it for me. Again, now when I drive to Kentucky, week after next, I'll watch my UFO. And every night I'll go out like this. Oh, what was that? It looks like an airplane. Ain't got me fooled. It's disguised as an airplane. It's taken the shape of a helicopter. I know what you are. Come down here and show yourself. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Hey, you know, I'll start seeing UFOs everywhere. You know why? Because if you put 2 hours of that stuff in your head, you begin to think like it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, everybody listening, if 2 hours of UFO videos makes me think I see them in the trees, and 3 hours of 9/11 videos makes me think terrorists are going to shoot me, 2 hours of watching people take their clothes off and drink liquor and cuss is going to make you want to take your clothes off and drink liquor and cuss. And all God's people said, say amen right there. You cannot say, we're going to Blockbuster or whatever, and we're going to get movies, and we're going to watch 3 months. That's 6 hours of indoctrination of the world, and they ain't saying, pray, 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 pray. It's saying, sin, 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 sin. And that's why people don't have no appetite for the Word of God. See? Christian people, so they don't watch movies all night long, and ain't got no appetite for God's Word. Getting quiet in here now. It's getting quiet in here. He said, I thought we got that over with this morning. I don't think I finally got my point across. That's a pretty good point, I think. You watch 2 hours of people laying bricks. And you're gonna, when you see a brick wall, you're gonna say, man, I know. You watch 2 hours of soap operas every day, and you're gonna think everybody at work is just like them people on the soap opera. You know why you women think everybody you know is having an affair? You're indoctrinated. It's too cold in here, y'all. Somebody been messing around? You can hang meat in this place. Maybe it's because I'm tired. And I'm sweating. I'm wearing my gloves next Sunday. And I don't usually do that. Listen. You know why? If I watch basketball for 2 hours, brother, I want to get out there and slam one. We're indoctrinated. Say amen right there. I'm going to tell you, I didn't say it's wrong to watch every movie, every TV. It's not what you do occasionally that hurts you. It's what you do all the time. It's not what you do occasionally that helps you. It's what you do all the time. You get in the habit of reading your Bible and praying, it'll help you. You do it once in a while, it ain't going to do much for you. I mean an unfed Christian, Christian that will not eat. I know sometimes you go to a church and you don't want to eat. Let me give you this. This is really off the subject a little bit, but I want to give it to you. This week, they put me in a motel that's not as nice as some. Some of you would die. I learned a long time ago, wherever I go. Now, they have put me in a nice motel before because pastor's wife worked the Holiday Inn. But she quit, so now they put me in the no-tail motel. And the name of it, it's a no-tail motel. That's what I call it. But it's Charlotte Hall Motel's name. It's Charlotte Hall, Maryland. And I stayed in there. It don't bother me. If you get to sleep, you can be in the Taj Mahal. It wouldn't make no difference. But as soon as I walk in, I wrote down 10 things. You think you was bored or something, wasn't you? The other night, I was laying in my bed, and I wrote down 10 things to how you know you're in a cheap, bad motel. Here they are. Are you ready? I've never heard nobody do this before. You're the first audience that gets to hear it. 10 ways you know you're in a bad motel. Number one, the indoor walls. Indoor are concrete blocks. Painted. And they put a bunch of coats of paint on them things. That thick of paint. But you can still see them concrete blocks. You know you're in one then. Number two, the key to get in is a real honest-to-goodness key. It ain't these cards that everybody else got you stick in. It's a real key with a little piece of plastic hanging on there with your number. My room number was 39. A little piece of plastic. Number three, the bars of soap in the bathroom are about that big. That's a sure sign. Tell me, ain't y'all people that travel, ain't that right? You go to a nice motel, you get a deal. I can't even keep a stupid thing in my hand. I'm trying to rub my legs with it, because I don't use washcloth. I just take soap and rub and wash my hair and everything with it. Them stupid little bars of soap ain't that big. Rinky-dink bars of soap. Number four, there's no fan in the restroom. You just turn the light on, lights on, it don't go, you know, no exhaust fan in the restroom. It smells funny too. Yeah, I went and bought me a candle at the store for a dollar and lit it in there. Number five, this way you really know, there's a cable box on top of your TV. And you have to turn the TV on and the cable box and flip the channel on that. That's old school. You know, most of the new ones got a flat screen TV. Next, there's no iron or ironing board. I went to the desk. I said, you got an iron, ma'am, that I can borrow? She said, no, I don't think so. She went back. She said, oh, yeah, we do. And she got one. And they had this room that you had to walk through, and there's the washing machine, and there's the dryer, and the room stayed open all night. I got to come walk through in there at 3 o'clock in the morning. I walked all over that place. Got out there in the parking lot and everything. Next, you have to stack up every pillow in your room to have it big enough to be one pillow. Same. Has anybody ever had that? Them pillows ain't that big. I don't know what they make them pillows out of. They're about that thick. I put one pillow, two pillows, three, and still you're laying like that out there. You have to have a bunch of pillows. I've had to ask for extra pillows. Next, the girl who cleans your room asks you, can she go ahead and do something so she'll get paid for it? She asked me the first day, she said, you need your room cleaned, sir? And I said, no, I ain't even took a shower or nothing since I've been here. I'm fine. And she said, well, would you mind telling them that I cleaned your room? And I said, well, I ain't going to lie for you or nothing, but just come on in here and get me another towel or something. You can say you cleaned it and get the trash out. So she did. That's the way you know you in a redneck. Next, number nine, I believe. When you pull in, there's a bunch of guys with pickup trucks backed in there, and they got grills out, and they're grilling out, and beer sitting all over the place, and all that. You know you're in one then. I mean, and they all look at you like a new guy in town. What kind of motel's that? They don't call them guests, them residents. Listen, I've been out, and all them guys, all them old redneck guys sitting over there, and they're grilling hot dogs and everything, got the beer sitting out here. And your truck, that is one thing I like about a motel like that. You can park, let's go. You know, I just take my stuff out, throw it in the trunk right there. You don't have to walk and go down the elevator. The car is right there at the door. And then last but not least, this is really bad. Last but not least, there's a sign in the lobby that big that said, no drugs allowed in this motel. We cooperate with the police daily. That's truth. That is the truth. That was a sign in my motel. I walked in there that first day. I said, my goodness, man. I'm in a drug dealer motel. And after that first day, you don't really smell that smell. I don't know where it goes. Then you get hunting. It's in your clothes. That's where a lot of churches are. They just don't smell right. Just don't taste right. Don't have no, there's nothing in that. Man, you know what? A church is like a restaurant. It ought to make people want to come. Years ago, people, Lay's potato chips had a slogan. And their slogan was, somebody tell me, bet you can't eat just one. That was a good slogan. I'm going to tell you something, brother. That was a good slogan. And the whole thing was, if you eat one of them potato chips, if you eat one, it's going to make you want another one. And that is the truth. You cannot eat. I'm that way about peanuts, popcorn, Doritos. I mean, Cheetos. I ate a whole bag of Cheetos last night. That stuff, you When I go grocery shopping, when I go down that road that's got all the potato chips on it, my mouth starts watering. That's the hardest road to resist, except for the donuts and candy and ice cream. But man, you go down that aisle and there's Lay's, kettle cooked, mesquite barbecue, corn chips, chili cheese. Man, I like every one of them things. Every one of them. I'm telling you something, except for the onion. You know, those sour cream onion, that's sick. That's for crazy people. They make you stink. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, yeah, that's where church is. I want to put on a sign sometime. Bet you can't come just once. Wouldn't that be good? You say, Brother Danny, what kind of Christian are you? Are you a lazy Christian? A lazy Christian is somebody that won't work in the church. I'm talking about in the church. Jesus said, son, go work. The Lord wants us to work. We're getting ready to start our fall program here in a few weeks. God said, work, brother, work. He wants everybody in here to do some kind of work for the Lord. I heard Larry Brown the other day. He said, Brother Danny, I was talking to somebody, they said, Brother Danny, did you hear him preach on the radio? He's preached on radio every day, so I turned him on. And he came on there, and he said when he first got saved, he said he didn't know absolutely nothing. He said he knew nothing about God, knew nothing about church. But he said the pastor got up and said, we need some workers. He raised his hand and said, I'll do whatever. And that's the way a person ought to be. A person ought to be. You say, I ask people, and sometimes I'll say, we need some help. People say, what for? I said, we need some workers in the church. Well, what is it? You know what he said? Pastor got up and said, we need some workers. He raised his hand and said, I'll do it. That's the attitude. But if we had a group like that, there ain't no telling what God could do in this church. And you know what? Old Larry said, he raised his hand and he said, I'll do it, preacher. And so he said, everybody wants to work, meet with me. And he said, they put him on. Here's what he said. Big old guy, Larry Brown. Y'all know little Larry. He said, they put him on the steeple inspection committee. He said it was a little old Southern Baptist church, and he said those little old churches like that, they have a committee for everything. Everything and everybody's in some kind of committee. I mean a committee of the committees, and the committee chooses committees to be committees. They put him on the steeple inspection committee. He said, what's that? And he said it was him, and he said two old fellows that looked like Methuselah. He said they were so old that they couldn't even hardly walk in, and it was him and them two old guys. And he said, what's that? And the pastor said, all right. He said, it's you guys' job to watch after the steeple, because every now and then it gets dirty and needs washing, or we have to paint it every couple of years. And now you keep an eye on that. He said, yes, sir. He said, them other guys were so old, they couldn't even hardly see it up there. And he said he took that job serious. And you know what he said? He said, buddy, he said, I went to church. He said, the first thing I did when I pulled in the parking lot, he said, the first thing I did is I took my cigarettes out of my pocket, because you just got saved. He said, for some reason, I thought they didn't want me to have them in there. And he said, he took my cigarettes out of the pocket and stuck them down in the side door. And I told my wife, he said, you go on in, honey, I'll be there in a minute. She'd get her pocketbook and go on in the church. And he said, I would walk all the way around like that, and I would look at that steeple every Sunday morning. Every Sunday. He said, I wanted to do my job, inspect that steeple. He said, I come in on Sunday. He said, Pastor! And the pastor said, yes, brother. He said, the steeple looks fine today. He said, thank you, brother. He said, next Sunday morning he'd come in. He'd say, Pastor! He said, yes. He said, the steeple looks fine. He said, I aggravated that preacher to death. He said, I like to run him crazy. You know what he said? He said, that was my job. He said, God gave me that little job. It wasn't much, but that was my job God gave me that I could do for the King of Kings. And ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to get any work for the Lord, that's the way we ought to take. That's how serious we ought to take every little thing that we can do in the church. Take it serious, amen? Take it serious. That's my job that I can do. If it's your turn to be in the nursery, brother, don't let hell or high water stop you from being in the nursery. If it's your time to work on the bus route or teach Sunday school or what, don't let the devil or nobody stop saying, this is my job God gave me to do. Lazy Christian. It won't work. Won't work. Amen. Wonder if this, if you're a tied up Christian. You know what a tied up Christian is? Can't get loose. So many of God's people are bound. Bound. They do real good for a while, but they're bound. I'll tell you about a little dog. My daddy used to have a little dog, and the little dog's name was Tiny. You remember Tiny, don't you, girl? Y'all remember Tiny? Look at him. Poor little old Tiny. Tiny was a miniature collie. And I don't know if you've ever seen a miniature collie. I didn't know there was such a thing. That thing, he's about that high, and his hair, her hair, I don't know if it was Tiny a girl or a boy. He's like Lady Doo-Doo. His hair drug the ground, just bushy. I'll bet you if you cut all his hair off, he'd look like a rat. He was real little, but he had bushy hair. And when Daddy died, Tiny stayed around the house after a couple of years. Bless her heart, little old bitty sharp nose, looked like a little armadillo. And he'd run around there, she'd run around there, whatever it is. And boy, she'd get there and mom would throw her out a little. Mom would say, I fed Tiny today. And she'd throw her out a little something like that. And Tiny would get out in the bushes and get in cuckleburrs. And I don't know if y'all, does everybody here know what a cuckleburr is? Okay, it looked like porcupine eggs. Little bitty tiny round thing, and they got stickers sticking out all over them, and they get stuck. You walk, and they get on your clothes and on your britches legs and beggar lice. That's some little bitty green thing get stuck in you. Poor little old Tiny, he'd get out there in the weeds, and sometimes he'd have a broke stick. A stick, brother, a briar stuck in there like that, and couldn't, poor little thing couldn't hardly walk. I mean, it was pitiful. And sometimes you'd take it and cut her hair off, you know, and throw the stick away. But she was just bound up, couldn't hardly walk for cuckleburrs and beggar lice and sticks like that. And she just come in there like that, you know, dragging sticks, you know, and everything. And I thought that's like so many Christians. Y'all got them, you know, you're smoking pot and you're shacking up and living together, and you can't walk. You can't walk. You can't go for God. You ain't free. You need to be set free from that stuff. I know people that live for God for a little while, and then they go back and get drunk. And they live for God, and they go back and get drunk. Or they get on pills, and then you get off. They're tied up. Just tied up. I'm going to tell you tonight, by the authority of this book, Jesus Christ can set you free if you'll put it on this altar tonight and get it out. Don't be a tied up Christian. I hate to walk around like this all the time. That's drugs. You're handcuffed. You can't do nothing for God. You're handcuffed. You can't sing the choir. You can't get a blessing. You can't enjoy everything like you're handcuffed. My cousin, I was talking to her up there in West Virginia. We have a young man in West Virginia visiting with us back there. Raise your hand at us, brother. Y'all better watch out for him. I'm just kidding. I was talking to him a minute ago. My cousin up there, she said, Danny, she said, everybody in this town is on some kind of pills, prescription pills. And you're starting to hear it more and 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 more. I got a good friend of mine who's a preacher, pastor of a church. He hurt his back. Good man. He'd shout, praise God. He'd run the aisle, and he'd praise the Lord, and he got doctor give him Oxycontins. For his back pain, it hurts so bad. And he took another, and then he couldn't quit. And right now, that man's lost his church. He ain't a pastor no more. And he's a good man. He didn't go out and party and stuff like that. He got hooked. He's a drug addict. He's just like Tiny. Can't walk. Bound up. Are you bound tonight? Are you bound tonight? Are you bound with lust? Are you bound with alcohol? Are you bound Because I've just got you bound up. You say, preacher, I can't even enjoy God for that sin. Come, y'all, just like little old Tiny. You need the Lord to cut you loose. I'll say this, and I'm through. I skipped a lot of this tonight. I got off on a lot of things. The victorious Christian. Are you a success? You know, it sure is nice to run into somebody every now and then that's got the victory. I dread to see some people coming. Every time I see them, my old brother Danny, I used to have people up in Marion when I pastored there, and there were certain people, and it's here too, but not as bad. There were certain people that it seemed like they made it their point every Sunday to mess my mind up and discourage me before I had to preach. They were standing out in my parking place when I come, like this. And I pull in, I said, oh no. They're mad about something else. They're griping about something else. They always got this problem they got to talk to you about. This is bothering them. That's bothering them. They're tore up about this. I thought, why don't you just get it right with the Lord and quit? And they'd always say, Brother Danny, I think you should do this, and I think you shouldn't do that, and I don't want like this, and I don't like that, and why is this, and why is that? And I'm like, hey, you got me crazy. It sure was good to sometime meet somebody and say, praise God, brother, it's good to be saved, ain't it? Hallelujah, amen. The devil's fighting, but God's still on the throne. Let's worship, amen. A victorious Christian. You know why everybody likes Hallelujah Howard's good? Man's got the victory, brother. I mean, he's got the victory. Who in the world wants to be around some old sire puss always talking about how bad everything is all the time? Oh, Howard, brother, I don't know how he does it, but every time I've ever seen him, it's glory to God, Brother Danny Pratt. And his wife will tell you, he ain't faking. He's for real. He's like that at home. They told me this funny story. They told me they had a tornado or something come up there in Tennessee about a year ago. He told me last year at the camp meeting, y'all know his wife, Miss Howard, whatever her name is. I don't even know her real name. What is her name? Anybody know? Mary. Him and Mary, she always sits back here. She always sits like right in here. He's up there tearing the carpet up and shouting around, and she just sits here like a little angel like that right there. I always told her, I said, honey, you're going to have a reward in heaven. I mean, she'll sit there a whole camp meeting and not even have nobody talk to her, and he's up there shouting with all the preachers and fellowship and everything. Well, it came that tornado up there in Tennessee. And they said on the news, everybody run for cover, run and get in the bathtub. And Hallelujah Howard said him and Mary got in the bathtub. I mean, can you imagine? Him and her both fully clothed down in the bathtub. He said they got down in there like that because they thought the hurricane was going to blow their house away. And I thought, I would like to sing that. I would like to sing Hallelujah Howard. Ask him about it when he comes to the camp meeting. Says, yeah, you been any hurricanes lately? But I tell you, I bet he was a shouting down in there. I bet he's in there saying, glory to God, glory to God. I bet he is up in there shouting and saying, hang on, honey, we might go to heaven together right now. I tell you, he's a victorious Christian. It's good to meet somebody once in a while that's got the victory. Rub it off on me a little bit. Things are bad, brother. Things are bad. But I'm glad we can still shout. What kind of Christian are you? What kind of Christian are you? You like that motel I stayed in this week? I'm not complaining, really. I mean, it don't bother me. I'd stay there again. Won't bother me one bit. I ain't too good. But I don't want the church to be like that. I really don't. I want us to have some good Christians. Amen. Miss Desi, I want you to come. Jason, I want you to come. And I want you to stand, bow your head for prayer tonight. I'm going to ask you something. What kind of Christian are you? What kind of Christian are you? Are you the unfed Christian? He won't eat. Are you the lazy Christian? He won't eat. Won't work. Are you the tied up Christian? He can't get loose. Or are you a victorious Christian? He'll succeed. You need help tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed, young people, mamas, daddy. There's somebody here this evening that needs help. There's somebody here this evening that your life is going down a spiral, just going down, down, down. And the devil's just, he got his foot in the door now. He ain't going to quit till he finishes you off. Why don't you come this evening and put that thing on the altar and give it to Jesus? We got a big crowd here tonight, good crowd. I know there's people in here that need help. Amen. Somebody come pray with this young lady. One of you girls that can pray. Let God speak to your heart. Teenagers, boys, girls, mamas, daddies. Amen. You let the Lord speak to you tonight. Maybe you're here tonight, you've been saved. But deep down inside, you know, you ain't got the victory. You don't have the victory. Why don't you come tonight? Let the Lord help you. Amen. Father, do what ought to be done right now. Touch every single heart here tonight. Save souls, change hearts, bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen and amen. Let's sing. You come right now. Come on.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today.
Amen. Come on now. Come on right now.
Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray.
Sing now.
See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me
free. Let's see another verse. Everybody sing.
I
amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
For cleansing me from sin.
Amen.
Oh, fill the world with thy
amen. You come tonight.